John chapter 4, please, if you can stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you're physically able. We'll begin in chapter 4, verse 31, and read a little bit here. And of course, you know this is Jesus having already met with the woman at the well, and now he's trying to teach his disciples something they missed. And folks, I'm just afraid that we as Christians in our churches today just have missed this whole idea of soul winning. And bringing in the harvest, and we need to not miss it. We need to study it, as has our theme been, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I'll read, you follow along. I'll begin in verse 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth, and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. We've already talked about the priority of the harvest. That we all, no matter what level, if you will, or where we are in our Christian lives, need to move this thing of bringing in the harvest higher up on our priority list. And the reason why is because of what Jesus said here in our text. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Jesus thought that the priority of the harvest was important. So he said, I'm going to go out and I'm going to do this more than eating. Okay? And I know that's hard for especially somebody like me. I like eating. And so to put bringing in the harvest higher than eating, that's a big deal, right? But we need to move that thing up the list because, you know, we have our work and we have our personal things and we have our entertainment and we have this and we have this and we have this. And then if we have time left over, we'll go out and hand out a gospel tract. Oh, by the way, I need to give credit where credit is due. I learned the term paper preacher from that guy right there. Okay? Him and his family would come out and be a part of our week of soul winning at Trinity. And I remember one early on, probably 06, 07, 08, somewhere in there, Brother Freddie came to town and we eventually became friends over the years. But he stood up and gave a charge and he said, these are paper preachers. And that's the first time I'd ever heard that term before. I mean, he's used that all your lives, right, kids? And these paper preachers, you can give out paper preachers everywhere you go. But you got to make it a priority. It shouldn't just be an afterthought. Because we've talked already many times, if you fail to plan, you've already planned to fail. So if you don't make it a priority, here's what I'm going to say. You won't. If you don't make your Bible reading a priority, you won't do it. If you don't make prayer time a priority, you won't do it. If you don't make building a relationship and grooming a relationship with Christ, you won't do it. If you say, well, I'll just do it when I have time, guess what you won't have? Time. Okay? It's the same thing with bringing in the harvest. If you don't make it a priority, and if I don't make it a priority, we as human beings won't do it. That's our nature. And we're kind of stuck in that. It's hard. We gotta work our way out of it. We gotta plan our way out of it to get into the harvest and to make it happen. So that was the priority. We also talked about the principles of the harvest, that it's his harvest. Okay? And that he wants us to work with him in his harvest. All right? God is not the kind that's just going to sit around and do nothing while we do all the work. He's going to go out into the harvest with us. He's going to prepare the hearts. He's going to send us where we should go. By the way, you know how I feel about this passage of scripture. I've told you before, it's my opinion. Maybe ask Brother Freddie if he thinks it's this way too. But I think that those disciples walked past that lady into town and didn't say anything to her. And I think they got into town And they asked around where to buy food and didn't tell one of those townspeople about Christ. And I think that they came back out to the well and they passed the lady as she was going in to get all the people to bring them out to Jesus. And they still didn't tell her. They had two chances to tell her. And when they finally got back to the well, Jesus if you have a red letter edition Bible, in these red letters here, is scolding his disciples about not doing the harvest like he sent them out to do. That's my opinion. Now, it's because he cares because it's his harvest. And he's going to send us where we should go. And I told you the example that one of the days where I went to McDonald's, I was in the drive-thru, and I was fresh out of paper preachers. I was fresh out of tracks. And God told me to give a tract to this girl at the window. And I was so convicted that it didn't. I mean, I pulled over my truck and I looked under the seats and I looked in the pockets and I looked everywhere under the floor mats just to find a tract. Couldn't find one. I felt so convicted about it that I didn't give her a tract. I had to go home, get a tract, go back to McDonald's and give it to her because I wouldn't have any peace. So we've got to care about the harvest. God's going to give you these, if you want to call them premonitions or whatever you want to call them. But he uses the Holy Spirit of God to put you in contact with that person that needs to be saved. Or that person that needs help. That person, because he cares. And that's the principle of the harvest. And then we began last week, we talked about the procedures of the harvest. And we talked about how we had to go out and make a point to go out into the harvest. We used Luke 5 and how Jesus told Peter to launch out into the deep and to go out where the fish are and to put down their nets, and they brought them in, and we talked about all those things. So tonight, I don't have time, but this is actually the textbook we used in Bible college in our personal evangelism class. And this is an old one, if you will. Brother Freddie said he's seen this one before. But I don't have time to go through and teach you all of these things. This is a copyright 1969. So it's been around, if you will. I'm going to give you some of the just nuts and bolts of how to bring in the harvest. Because we talked about last week how if we go down into the harvest and just start wandering around, we might accidentally trample a whole bunch of the harvest without bringing it in. We've got to be skilled. We got to know what we're doing. Because listen, I don't want anyone to go to hell because I messed something up. Because I wasn't a good enough workman. Or I wasn't eloquent enough or knowledgeable enough to bring in the harvest. And listen, I sure hope that we don't, because of our attitude or because of how we treat people, turn somebody off from the gospel. I would hate to know that. I would hate to know because I lost my temper, someone's going to go to hell. Or I would hate because of my testimony, or if you will, poor testimony, someone's not going to trust Christ as their Savior. They're going to take one look at you and say, oh, you're a Christian? Well, I never want to trust Christ then. Boy, that ought to cut you deep if that ever happens. And listen, we need to be careful about how we go about bringing in the harvest. Recently, I had a privilege of talking with Brother Freeze and actually helping him out a little bit. But in his business, in his line of work, there's a certain way you have to do stuff. You gotta put this on. You gotta have this safety precaution and this clothing and this thing. And, you know, in all the businesses and companies that you all work for, there's Brother Adam there, and Brother Michael, you were in Brother Adam's class and as a training instructor. There's a certain way to mark things and find things and there's procedures for everything. So why would we ignore procedures for going out and talking to people about Christ? And if you want to learn how to be a good soul winner, look how Jesus did it. I mean, who better than the Son of God to know how to talk to people? You know? And so we got to realize that there's something we've got to do. We've got to make sure we do that. Now, the first thing I want to talk about tonight is simply this. You have to have the right message as you go out trying to win people to Christ. You understand that there are all kinds of things out there as far as, well, people may say, if you go out and you say, "Hi, my name is Eric and this is John and we're out here from Lighthouse Baptist Church and we're just inviting people out to church," and you get to go, you know, you have a conversation with them, and that's important to do. But at some point in the conversation, you need to get to the point where you may ask them, "Listen, we just want to talk to people today, and we just want to know, if you die today, do you know for sure you go to heaven?" And I appreciate all the kids. I remember when Andrew was just small, and David, I mean, you were just toddling around, you know. And the girls have always been sweet as they are, like they're just always, right? Isn't that true? Sure. But I always had the privilege, because I was in charge of the Harvesters program whenever the Reeds came to town. And I always had the privilege of going with these little kids, and I watch them grow up and learn and mature, and just it was just exciting to see. But we used to teach the Harvesters, you got to talk to people. And you got to have a message. And those people need to know that you're there because you love them. And you care about them. And it's got to be sincere. You're not just going out there, "Oh, man, I got to go work in the harvest today. Super harvest." You know, people can read you. They can know if you really want to be there or not. You know, sometimes we'll go to a church, or we'll go to places, and I'm a people watcher. And you watch people, and you look at people sitting in the pews, and they have a hymn book in their hands, and they're there, and they're just like, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound." They're not interested in that at all. And then you have those people that are sold out. You know, "Amazing." And maybe a tear comes to their eye, because it really penetrates that they were a wretch. And they believe it. And you can tell. You know, and sometimes in churches, the folks will get up to sing a special. And let me tell you something, folks. You can tell when someone's just performing. And you can tell when it's real. Why would it be any different out at the door knocking? You gotta have the right mindset and the right message. And you gotta have the right attitude as you go out. And listen, you gotta care about those people. When you go and you get that track out and you give it to them, and they need to feel that you want them to be saved. They need to feel that you care whether or not they spend eternity in hell or in heaven. And folks, it's your eyes, it's your body language, right. it's everything. And we used to teach the kids how to go to a door, and how to respect people's property, and how to knock, and how to look someone in the eye and talk to them, and how to really care about it. And when you ask them, "If you die today, you know for sure you go to heaven," that you really mean it. And when they give you an answer, you really listen to what they have to say. And if they say yes, you don't say, "Oh, that's great. Woo, let's throw a party." No, you gotta dig a little deeper to make sure they have salvation. Because I've asked people before, and they say yes. And I say, "Well, may I ask how you know for sure?" "Well, my grandpa's a preacher." "Well, big whoop-de-ding, who cares? I mean, he's a preacher, that's great. But that doesn't mean you're going to heaven." Now, you shouldn't say that to the person there at the door, okay? but you need to listen to what they say, but you got to care whether they are saved or lost. You understand that Jesus tells us there is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we've deceived ourselves and the truth is not in us. Isaiah 64:6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Ecclesiastes 7:20, for there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Romans 5:12, whereby as one man's sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. They're a sinner, and they're bound for hell. They're condemned already in their trespasses and sins. And you should care. And I should care. And they need to know you care. You know, we've got to have the right motive and mindset. We have to have the right attitude as we go out there. And it's all going to be in our message and how we present ourselves before a never-dying soul. Because we're going to go out into that harvest. And listen, if I were in agriculture and I were trying to bring in a real harvest of grain or wheat, and I'm gonna make sure I get every single kernel. Because little individual kernels make up bushels. And bushels make up hundreds of bushels and thousands of bushels. And that's where I get my paycheck from. Folks, we can't afford to let one grain fall to the ground. We gotta really care whether or not that person trusts Christ or not. And we've got to have that as you go out. Don't treat soul winning as just a thing that you have to do. Or someone's making you do. Or, you know, or even worse, oh, this is just what we do. Why are you here Saturday? Well, just because it's what we do. It's what we always do. No. No, it's what we get to do. We get to go out into the harvest. And we have a chance to care. Secondly, we need to make sure that the individual that we're talking to understands that they're accountable to God. And you know what? In order for you to get someone else to understand something, you have to understand it yourself. As you're standing there out in the harvest, do you know who you're accountable to, soul winner? You're accountable to the Lord of the harvest because it's His harvest. And the work that you do out there, handing out these tracts, knocking on those doors, you're accountable to God for that. And let me just say this, if you don't do that in some way, shape, or form, and now again, I'm not saying the only way to go out soul winning is to come out into church organized soul winning. That's only one avenue. You can do this every single day. You can do this everywhere you go. And I encourage that. But here's the thing, we all have to realize that not only is the sinner accountable to God for their sin, but we're accountable to God for working in the harvest. He's already put us out there. He's already told us that we're supposed to be in the harvest. He's already told us we're supposed to go out. And He says to lift up our eyes. He told us to pray the Lord of the harvest that He'd send forth laborers in His harvest. And then we find out in the next chapter, He sends them out. And we've got to realize that that's exactly what it is. So we have to understand the accountability that we have to God. And in order for us to be able to share with them the accountability that they have before God. Because guess what? If you don't take it seriously, they won't either. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You understand that there is a second death. We use that little saying, you know, if you're born once, you die twice. If you're born twice, you die once. Listen, those things are all wonderful, but do you really mean it? Do you really believe it? He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. See, folks, we have to help them to understand that they're condemned already. And here's the thing, we're going to get to this in just a little bit. You need to listen faster. We're going to get to this in a little bit, but please understand. We have got to help them to see that they need to be saved because they're already lost. And if they don't make a decision, they've already decided. You know, so many times, and Brother Freddie, you've been there. Kids, I know you've been there. Miss Janie, they're all wonderful soul winners, this whole family. Can I tell you something? You've all been there, and many of you that are regular soul winners, and some of you that just practice it on your own, you've come across people that have said to you, well, I'm just not ready. And I don't know about you guys, but there's been times where I've just gone around and around and around. I've tried this and then I tried something else and then I tried this and I tried that. And just no matter what I tried, they weren't ready. And boy, I walked away from that door fearful. And I've even been so bold a few times to tell those people, the devil is trying to get you to not trust Christ. And I said, you know what? As soon as you close that door, something else is going to come up
and it's going to distract you, and you're going to forget about it. I've even looked at people and told them that. And I've walked away from those doors, and I've just been so concerned that they're never going to do it. And so we've got to do all we can to help them understand that they're already under condemnation. They're already going to hell. And they need to be saved. They're accountable to God. And folks, listen, just as much as we as saved people are accountable to God, they're accountable to God. And they need to be saved. The next thing we need to know, help them to know, as we go out into the harvest, is that they can't save themselves. They can't save themselves. And listen, just as much as we can do nothing in the flesh, they can do nothing to be saved. You understand, if you go out soul winning in the flesh, and by the way, all these points have to do with the soul winner and the soul winnee. Okay, the person that we're trying to win. Yeah. All of them do. But as we go out, they can't save themselves, but we can't bring in the harvest by ourselves. We've got to have the Holy Spirit of God working through us. We cannot do it in the flesh. Things that we do in the flesh will not succeed. Because God's not in that. He's in the Spirit. If you walk in the flesh, you're gonna experience destruction. You're gonna experience all the awful things. But if you walk in the Spirit, it's life. And so we've got to realize that we can't go out into the harvest in the flesh. We've got to go out in the Spirit. That means we got to pray, right? We got to be right with God. We got to be in tune with the Holy Spirit of God. We've got to be filled with the Spirit so that it's spilling out of us all onto other people. That's the way we need to go out soul winning. So I in the flesh am not going to do anything as far as soul winning. Now the Word of God's going to cut. The Word of God's going to do its work. But me as the worker, I need to know that I can't do this harvest by myself. And let me just say this. We're always careful because I love the innocency of little ones. If you've never experienced it, it's such a wonderful experience to go out with like a third grader or a fourth grader or a second grader, and they get a chance to lead someone to Christ. And boy, they come bursting back into that church building and off the bus, and they come in and say, "I saved somebody." Now they don't mean that, you know that, right? They're just so excited, and so we carefully teach them that no, little one, we don't save anybody. God saves them. You know, we get a chance to live, but you know, and they don't mean anything by it. Please understand that. And I love that exuberance. I love that excitement. We just try to temper it the right way. But listen to me. When I go out soul winning and I talk to somebody, I don't save anybody. God saves them. And so we have to understand that we don't do the saving. We're not the ones bringing in the harvest. It's God. We're just the laborers. And just as much, so we've got to realize that if we believe that, then they'll believe that they can't save themselves. That they can't do good works. They can't be religious. They can't do it by. How many of you remember? I've used this before, but in my junior high library, I can remember. I see it right in my mind's eye, right before you went up the stairs into the balcony area of the library. Library was down in a kind of a pit area there, but there was a poster of Garfield the cat, and Garfield had books tied to his arms and his legs and his body and his head. And it said in big letters, "I learn by osmosis." Wouldn't that be grand? Just put your King James Bible under your pillow and just memorize scripture, right? Just soak it in, you know? No, it doesn't happen that way. You don't get saved by osmosis. And then how many of you have ever experienced those people? You knock on the door and you talk to them, you ask them the question, finally you get to it and you say that, and they say, "Well, I've always been saved." Wow. "Can I get your autograph?" You know, that kind of thing. It's like, what? This is cool. I met somebody who's always been saved. I've never met anybody like that before. They think there's something they can do to go to heaven. But there's not. We've got to let them know that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. We need to tell him that, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans 11:6 says, and if by grace, then is no more of works, otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace, otherwise work is no more work. When we realize that we need God to bring in the harvest, and that they need God to save their soul, it's going to click. They're going to understand that. The next thing we need to realize is that it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. You see, our work in the harvest is all about Jesus. As we go out there, why are we going out into the work? Because Jesus saved me. It's all about Him. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about this local church. It's not about trying to fill up this place so we can tear it down and build a bigger one. Which, by the way, I would love to do that. You say, you want to tear our church down? Well, yeah. To make a bigger one. To hold more grain from the harvest, right? I mean, that's the only reason why. Listen, but it's not about me, and it's not about you, and it's not about this local church. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and His kingdom. And as we go out into the harvest, and by the way, if we get that right mindset, we'll work harder. The work will mean more to us. It'll be more valuable to us as we go out in the harvest. And by the way, once we get them to realize that it's all about Jesus, it's not about them, then they'll turn to Christ and get saved. You know, there's this guy. I don't know how. I guess I was going to say little guy, but that was Zacchaeus. He was a wee little man. But there was this guy. I don't know what stature he was, but he was hanging on a cross next to the Savior. And you know what? By the end of the day, what he finally realized? That it's all about Jesus. And he looked at Jesus and he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest to thy kingdom. And just before that, how we know that he realized it was all about Jesus, he looked at the other guy and said, hey, we deserve this. This man's done nothing. If you understand that if we realize that it's all about Jesus, then they'll realize it's all about Jesus. And they'll choose to trust Christ as their Savior. And the last thing about this that we need to realize is that it's about faith. It's about faith. When I go out into the harvest as a laborer of the harvest, if I do it by faith, then it will amount to something. Because I'm believing in what God is going to do as I go out and labor for Him. I love how confident the Apostle Paul was during the course of his ministry. Everywhere he went, everything he did, all the people that he talked to, was all done in and by faith. I just love what he told the people as they were the ship was in Euroclidon. He just called out and said, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. I mean, what a great statement. We were at the Institute for Creation Research Museum last week, a couple days ago actually, and I don't know how long ago this was. Remember I said that we need to have a shirt that just said, in the beginning, God, ... because that's enough. They've got that shirt. I should ask him for royalties or something on it, because that was my idea. But, you know, just to say, I believe God should be enough. Folks, you understand, James does say that faith without works is dead, being alone. But can I say something? Works without faith is dead, being alone. You can go out into the harvest and work all you want, but if you don't have the faith along with it, what good is it? So we've got to realize that this is by faith. And if we believe it's by faith, that we're going to go out into the harvest and God's going to help us bring in the harvest. By the way, we were able to see one person saved this last Saturday. You say, oh, that's nothing. What do you mean that's nothing? Did you know that in the book of Acts, the Bible says that God added to the church such as should be saved? Who's in charge of this thing? You or him? He is. You know, our church, the trustees will tell you this, when they were interviewing me to come here and be pastor, they asked me about what my job, you know, what I thought my job was going to be. And I said, well, my job is to do this, and you know, he said, well, what about, you know, growing the church and these things? I said, it's not my job. That's God's job. It's his church. Now, I'm supposed to go out and work and study and soul win and minister to people and do all those things, but God's the one that adds to his church. I learned as a young Christian school principal, and I shouldn't tell you to talk to Dr. Smith about that because I made a lot of mistakes early on. But can I tell you something though? We all have to learn as we grow. But I remember, I thought, you know, everybody needs to be in the Christian school, and why aren't all these people in the Christian school? So I would go out and I would recruit. And I would try to talk this family into coming to the Christian school, and I would try to talk this family into coming and being part of the Christian school. You want to know something? Everyone that I ever talked into coming to the Christian school ended up quitting. You know why? Because it was my idea, not theirs. And it was my idea, not the Holy Spirit's idea. And guess what? It all came to nothing. So you know what I quickly decided? I'm just going to let God send me whoever he wants to be in the Christian school. And I'll work with those people. And you know what? I had a lot better time with it. You know what? If we would just go out by faith into the harvest, ready to receive whatever God has for us, we'll be a lot happier. And if they will come to the realization that all they have to do is by faith come to Christ, they can be saved. You know, it's a wonderful thing to talk to someone about these things. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Galatians 3. For ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Romans 10:9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Therefore, Romans 3:28. Therefore we conclude that man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. So all these things, as I've just wanted to give you some ideas about how to go out into the harvest. These things have got to become real to you. And you've got to practice them. Now I want you to realize that was only 2 pages of the curriculum. Let's see how many pages are here. 70? 72? But can I tell you something? We all can do better when it comes to the harvest. But if I wanted to show you how all of these things not only pertain to the person that you're talking to, but they pertain to you as well. We've got to do our part. And yes, we've got to go launch out. We've got to go where the people are, and we've got to go accomplish it. Brother Freddie reminded me of something Dr. Smith always said. The simplest thing about soul winning is to go out and do it. You just got to go out and do it. But you know what? We can be the right kind of workers. Workmen. Remember, we studied that in 2 Timothy 2:15. That word workman means a skillful artificer. Someone who's skilled at what they do. In other words, they know what they're doing, and they're going to have the best result possible. So if you'll go out into the harvest and you'll love those sinners and truly care about them, then they'll know that God truly cares about them. And you understand that there's a accountability to God for me and for them. And that without God, it's all worthless. We can't save ourselves, and I can't do the harvest by myself. I need God with me. And that we need to make sure that it's all about Jesus in my life and in their life. And that it's by faith, that I have to have the faith to go out into the harvest and bring in the harvest. And they have to have the faith to trust Christ as their Savior. See, there's just simple little things. And by the way, that's only an introduction. Because I had about 6 more pages I wanted to go through, but that's not going to happen. These paper preachers, soul winning books, learning and growing as a soul winner, and becoming a more mature laborer in the harvest are all things that we can do. But we have to learn and we have to decide to do it. And that's the bottom line.